Shutdown talk is coming back to Washington, at least from some leaders on Capitol Hill, like Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid. The reason, though, is kind of arcane and weird to understand. It's really about when another budget deal is made to avoid sequestration. Bob Tobias is professor of key executive leadership programs at American University. It's never a good time to talk about shutdowns, but Bob will talk about the reasons that's happening in a moment. It just strikes me that now, with what we're hearing about the OPM breaches and all of those issues, that this is a really terrible time of all times that are terrible to start talking about shutdowns again, isn't it, Bob?
I couldn't agree more, Francis. I think in the past that federal employees have felt more like victims. And, well, you know, this is something I have to live with. This is something I have to experience because I choose public service. But I'll tell you, Francis, I feel and have heard a very sour, quite angry mood. Turning from helplessness to anger is not good for the federal government.
So there's a little bit of a difference in the dynamic that I see on the Hill, and I would appreciate your insight into this as far as the shutdown discussion, because I think understanding the dynamic helps us to think that maybe either it is as bad as it sounds or it may not be as bad as it sounds, depending on how we look at this dynamic. So I went back and looked at some of the shutdown conversation from 2013, and the bulk of the media coverage that I saw, both from our coverage and from other media outlets in 2013, I judged most of the speakers who were speaking in favor of shutdown or speaking about the likelihood of a shutdown at that time to be people who perceived in their own minds, at least, to have the point of leverage when it came to the discussion of should the government shut down or not. And I'm particularly talking about House Republicans. They thought they were in charge, they were in the catbird seat, and the blame would be shifted to somebody else. And a lot of the quotes revolved around, well, it would be their fault if it happened, whoever the others, theirs, happened to be, President Obama, Democrats in the Senate, whatever. This time I detect, it, at least so far, and I believe this is correct, that most of the talk about the government will shut down is coming from folks who are either not sure if they have leverage or know they don't have leverage. And I mentioned Senator Reid to start with. And my sense is that right now, most of the talk about a shutdown or not a shutdown is coming from Democrats in the Senate who right now maybe don't believe they have leverage unless they play up the possibility of a shutdown. If I'm reading something incorrect there, I would welcome your critique of my observations.
I can't critique your observations. I think they're on the mark. But I think that the import, the impact of all of that is to once again raise the uncertainty around a shutdown. And that's the damaging impact on the federal workforce. Uncertainty and fear are horrible in the workplace. They're corrosive. People talk about nothing else than the shutdown. All of the people have to run their budget numbers over and over again to try to figure out how to make things work. And it's that uncertainty which in the past was fear, which I believe is turning to anger.
I think you're exactly right. I agree with that. And I am certainly not suggesting by the examination that I made that it's a wise idea to pursue it, or that it's, I'm also not eliminating the possibility that it could happen. I just think that the way that we look at it and the likelihood of it happening is different. Now, the budget machinations that I mentioned as you joined us today stack up in this way right now. Republicans seem to be committed, in both chambers, seem to be committed to passing appropriations bills that will mark at the pre-sequester levels and then discussing the negotiations about what you do about the sequester long term after the appropriations bills have been passed and sent to the president. What Democrats in both chambers and President Obama seem to be saying is, no, you're doing it in the wrong order, and it makes a lot more sense to decide what's our solution to sequestration and the Budget Control Act numbers going to be for this year and next year, and theoretically for longer than that, but at least for those 2 years, and then we'll decide to mark the appropriations bills to those numbers. What do you think about the order? How big of a difference does it make vis-a-vis do we have a shutdown or don't we have a shutdown?
This is a conversation about the shape of the table. This is a way of avoiding the substance of the discussion, which is what's the end game, what's the end play? And again, that feeds into the uncertainty, because until someone blinks, until someone says, okay, the order will be the regular budget order, or we've got to negotiate about a solution, then each side is going to ramp up the other. And the people who are damaged by that are the federal employees and the federal workforce. My hope is that that the goal will be not the not necessarily the political advantage, but a responsible behavior toward the efficiency and the effectiveness of the federal workforce. And so far, that's not part of the equation. That's not part of the discussion.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I gave away my sentiment on this a couple of weeks ago, Bob, because I wrote that now, well, a month ago, when I wrote the piece, was the time to do another deal. I mean, everybody pretty much has an idea of what it's going to look like. Really, the only disagreement is the order. And so if it's what you're going to get to anyway, it doesn't make any sense to me as to why you don't lend that certainty to the people who need it and crave it and deserve it, rather than putting them off till the very last minute again, especially if you're trying to make an argument that you've seen the light and you don't want to keep dumping on the federal workforce.
And it's not only the federal workforce, because the federal workforce, as the federal workforce works, has an impact on taxpayers. And if they're preoccupied with whether or not they're going to have work, whether there's going to be a shutdown, whether or not the budget is going to be another sequestration level, which will lead to furloughs and layoffs or not, they're not delivering the kind of service that the taxpayers deserve. And again, taxpayers and employees are not part of the equation in considering the order of trying to resolve this problem.
The order piece of it, Bob Tobias of American University is my guest. The figuring the order of it, I love your analogy of negotiating the shape of the table, because it really demonstrates the stage at which this conversation lies. It's the very beginning of stage of the discussion, of figuring out what the real point of the negotiation is. The point is to sit down and do something, and not to haggle over how you're going to sit down and do something.
That's a fact. And so far, everybody's walking around whatever table they envision, and nobody's taking a seat.
So you've been on sides of negotiations like this over and over again in your career. What does it take to even get one side to the table when there's one side or two sides, to be fair, who aren't at the current time interested in sitting down? What usually makes something like that break?
A determination about whether or not a certain behavior will lead to a political advantage or not. And that's what I'm saying. I would like the political advantage to not be as it has been in the past, not limited to what it has been in the past, but rather to include the impact that it has, the impact that this dance has on the federal workforce and on taxpayers. Make them part of the equation when you're trying to figure out how you're going to solve the problem. And so far, not so much.
Is there anything that the workforce itself or the unions or the other advocacy groups can do that they haven't done already, that they haven't been doing for 2 or 3 years already, to explain to the Hill how damaging this is?
Well, I think unions are doing what they can, but I think that it's really going to be whether or not unions and other stakeholders can credibly describe the anger that's now welling up among federal employees. Because if that's credible, I think there will be a positive response.